Congratulations, yeah, on being elected as a MLA. Now that you have it, what are your top priorities moving forward?
There's a number of them. So right now, here we are in the middle of a, you know, pandemic. Number one thing is we have to maintain some common sense and some safety to get through this pandemic, number one. And then it remains to be seen what's left of the economy once the pandemic's over. If the numbers and the forecasts are accurate at all, we will have a lot of rebuilding to do. I worry about the economy, and Abbotsford has a very diverse economy. We're blessed with a strong agricultural base, but that will have its challenges as well as everything else. So moving forward, it will be the economy and making sure that people can afford to keep a roof over their heads. And we need a strong economy to be able to do that.
So specifically for your writing, do you have any initiatives planned that you want to launch to meet those goals?
My job as a critic will be to keep the government accountable. I would like to see the NDP keep to their word about improving infrastructure for transit up and down through the corridor. I would like to see the SkyTrain or some kind of rapid transit go up and down the valley. I've advocated for that before. I'd like to see the freeway widened. When I was the mayor, we had agreed to have it widened as far as to Whatcom Road overpass. I'd like to see that completed. I'd also like to make sure that the next 9 months, the vaccine is rolled out efficiently and safely, and that life can return to whatever the new normal is going to be.
Obviously, as a member of the Liberal Party, you probably know that the election result didn't go as you guys had hoped it would have. What kind of lesson do you think the Liberal Party learned from what message the people delivered to you?
You know, I was one of five newly elected Liberal candidates throughout the entire province. And if you take a look at what happened in the Lower Mainland, MLA Michael De Jong and myself were elected, and everything else went NDP. Clearly, the people spoke. What we need to do now is go back to the electorate itself and find out, you know, where did we miss the mark and what can we do to be more relevant? You know, I've already had a few meetings with different stakeholders out in this area. And I think now's the time to listen and hear what the public have to say. They come back to us and say, look, this is where you missed the mark. And I think we sincerely need to listen intently before we jump to any conclusions. We have to adjust our strategy and moving forward so that we can form government next time around.
This province is one of the most diverse provinces in the country. And you know, the area that you represent is one of the most diverse. Your party does not represent right now what BC looks like. What do you think your party needs to do better to attract more minorities?
I would say to you, it's not just minorities. I would also say that it has to do with age and also gender. Moving forward, you have to encourage people to run. And so I would say now more than ever, if anyone out there in the province is thinking of wanting to be an MLA hopeful for the BC Liberal Party, get ready. I'm a strong advocate that I think there needs to be candidate runoffs in each riding as much as humanly possible. And again, that's up to whomever the leader is. Sometimes we'll have certain candidates that they can pick, and maybe part of that will be used to fulfill that diversity as you're talking about. But I encourage it, and I agree that it's one of the biggest challenges is making sure that you have a mixture. I just think it's difficult to get people to run, period. It becomes even more difficult to encourage minorities. But I think now more than ever, you'll see a different face of the BC Liberal Party moving forward. And that would be what I would advocate for.
Okay. So I am going to take a little bit of a different approach to asking you questions here. Instead, we're going to talk about arts and culture just for a minute. So Abbotsford has been developing a culture strategy that it's invested a lot of time and resources into. Can you describe what a perfect outcome would look like from that initiative, from your perspective?
A perfect outcome would be one where everybody feels welcome and everyone feels as if they've been heard. And the arts and culture of the city represent how diverse our city is. That would be my perfect outcome, is that every corner of our city is somehow represented in arts and culture. And that's what the initial rounds of talk was supposed to do. We've sort of gone through phase one, and there will be additional phases. whenever you're doing a first draft, it's never as good as it can be. And moving forward, I think the city's now encouraging for that second round. What I worry about is that if we get to a second or a third or a fourth, that people say, okay, we're done. No, it's an ongoing, continual process, especially for arts and culture. I think that for far too long, there are voices that have not been heard within our city that need to be heard.
Can you tell me about which voices are being underrepresented or who were feeling underrepresented and voiced that perhaps in the early phases of the document?
The arts community clearly spoke up, and the arts is incredibly diverse itself. I think visible minorities spoke up. The city is, I think, finally getting to that age where it's starting to grow to a point where some of these things, it's time for them to be born, so to speak. Performing arts has survived in this community and not necessarily in their minds have gotten their fair share of the pie. They would say that sports, for instance, got the vast majority of the money. And if you take a look at arts and culture, that would in fact be true. But culture and performing arts were also overlooked. And I don't think it was intentional. I just think that the focus, the growth of this area was so fast that much effort was put into making sure that we had sporting facilities ready, that was where the focus was, and that arts would kind of take care of itself. The reason that we've now put all this effort in is we realized that that arts and culture were overlooked.
Moving on to what City Hall can learn from that, what do you think are some of the takeaways from that whole consultation dissent giving experience?
I think the dissent is normal, and I think it's actually healthy to have that disagreement. There were some around there that thought that this first draft was the final draft. You know, the mayor has gone out and has picked up the phone, I know, to speak to some of the organizations. Some of them have sort of thrown their hands up and said, oh, that's it, we're done. I would encourage them to, and I don't know which specifics it are, the mayor had mentioned that, and I would encourage them to come to the table, because you need to be at the table to be heard. You need to be at the table to express what your particular area is important and why you feel it's overlooked.
When do you think that the next version of the document will be going out to the public?
It's going to be a fairly long process, because there is a desire within the city to get this right and to not try and rush it. So I think that there's plenty of opportunity yet. And I think the second phase where, okay, this was the first draft. What was good? What needs to be improved? That will be that second round. And there may be a third.
I'm wondering, what would that money be going to? What kind of gaps would money for arts and culture in Abbotsford be filling?
Well, I think that's up to the shareholders themselves and the Sports, Arts and Culture Committee that's there to also work on that. So I don't think it's up for me to say where it's going. Do I have my own private things? Yeah, I'd love to see a performing arts theater, but maybe that's not what it is, because culture is not just performing arts and sports. A third of our population are first generation Canadians. They're immigrants from somewhere else, a third. And you take a look at the diverse cultures that we have. I believe it was over 50 languages are spoken. It's immense here in this city. And if you just work on the culture part, how do you make a newcomer feel welcomed? And how do you not only make them feel welcomed, but how do you encourage them to become part of the social fabric and mosaic that the city actually is? We are in the early stages. And again, you know, I know I sound like a broken record, but reach out to the city. We have the Let's Talk portal. There are all kinds of ways to have your opinions heard. And so I would encourage people to speak up, be part of that process.
What kind of engagements with city stakeholders need to be improved upon, and how?
You know, the city has put an immense amount of time and resources into this discussion. And we're now at the point where we're ready to listen. The stakeholders themselves, it's now time for them to speak up. We're ready. We want to change. There is a need to change. We know it. There is a will around City Hall to listen and improve upon the arts and culture, because we realize it's one of the missing links that can be improved upon.